Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We will look at the Word in just one moment or two, but before we do, let us bow our heads together and ask God to help us in our study of the Word this hour. Our Father, we are grateful today that we can come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that we are able to pray with perfect assurance because thou hast opened the way by thy grace. We come boldly to the throne of grace then, to make our wants and our wishes known to thee today. We ask our God that thou wilt meet every need of every waiting heart as thou dost see that need to be. We ask our Father that thou wilt open the word, that we may be able to behold wonderful things out of thy law. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We have been studying here in the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew the story of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. You will recall that we have been thinking about what he had to say to the people who came out to his baptism, telling them that there would one come after him whose boots, shoes, shoelaces, different versions say different things, he was not worthy to unloose or even to wear. And that one who would come would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And of course that one would be our precious Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me now about the message that John the Baptist actually brought. First of all, I want to point out to you that the message of John the Baptist was a national message. The Gospels are one section of the Scriptures which have survived much poor preaching, because a great deal of preaching that is heard in our churches today is based upon the Gospels. The interpretation in most cases is completely erroneous. Folk forget, for example, that the message of John the Baptizer has a national content which cannot be ignored. It has a personal content which fitted the people of John's day, and in some instances can be applied to the people in our day. It has a general content in which truth concerning the facts that John the Baptizer would have us have can apply to those of us who live in this particular age. Now, some of you may feel that I'm too meticulous in making these distinctions, but I beg of you, reserve your judgment until we are through with these messages, and then I think you'll recognize that what I say is true, and there is a need for the kind of emphasis that I am making at the moment. To further emphasize the fact, I would like for us to begin to notice the content of John's message to the nation of Israel. Keep in mind what I'm saying. The content of John's message to the nation of Israel. I would like for us to begin to notice that it is composed, first of all, of a plea for repentance. Notice, please, verse 2, chapter 3, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is also composed of a statement of rejection. Notice verse 10, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." May I pause to say to you that this verse of Scripture has been misinterpreted and badly maltreated and used to lead many folk into a state of confusion and discouragement. Oftentimes this verse is used as a text to frighten people into more activity, telling them if they do not produce more than they are producing, God is liable to take the axe and cut down the tree and cast them into the fire. They have no understanding of the complete Word of God, and hence they are disturbed by such erroneous preaching. We're going to anticipate ourselves a little bit and say to you that this verse has nothing to do with you as an individual. It is a reference, as we shall see, to the nation of Israel. Now, the last thing that makes up the national message of John, remember I said it's a message of repentance, it's a message of rejection, and now I want to say the last thing that makes up the national message of John, that is, the message of John to the nation of Israel, I describe by using the word revelation, for it constitutes the revelation of the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who, keep in mind at this time, had not been recognized as the Messiah by John. Now he was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as human genealogy is concerned, and it would not be amiss to assume that sometime during their childhood they visited with one another. But the point that I make is that he had not recognized Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, but God had given him that revelation of the Messiah personally. And that revelation is described in verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." I say, this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we've already considered, presented by John the Baptizer, is certainly a far cry from the effeminate picture of Jesus Christ that is often being presented by men today. It's a far cry from Jesus, meek and mild, about whom the little children are taught to sing in our Sunday school classes. Now, the second content of the message of John the Baptizer we designate by the word personal. Now, keep in mind, we said that it was national. Now we say that it's personal. And we do so because John addressed himself to individuals as well as to the nation of Israel. Those individuals were open to his message and desired additional light. Now, the personal message of John the Baptizer is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. And since that is true, we're not going to spend our time in this study looking at that, because we must reserve our time for our study in the Gospel of Matthew. But we do want you to have the whole picture. And so we remind you that his message was a national message. That's where we'll be spending most of our time. His message was a personal message addressed to individuals. And then the third thing I would like for you to keep in mind is his message was a general message. I suggest to you that I have used this word general to describe it because I don't know of a better word to use than that. He dealt with national problems. He dealt with personal problems, and then he brought a message, a general message, to the whole world. You might want to look for this general message for a very brief comment to the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke and the 18th verse, where we read, "Many other things in this exhortation preached he to the people." John preached, we are told by this verse of Scripture, many other things than those that have been mentioned. What are those things? Well, we can be sure that one of those other things is related to what is recorded in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And I think it would be wise for us to turn there today and see this message because it is so important. Recall that Jesus made his appearance after his many years of silence, and in John 1, verse 35, we read, "And the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked," that is, as he came along, "he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and say unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, Master, Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and following him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The message of John the Baptizer then We are quite sure from this passage of Scripture centered around the Lamb of God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ will not walk this earth in this present moment as he walked it then, so I would like to suggest that you turn to chapter 3 of the Gospel of John and notice that which is included in the exhortation which he uttered. Notice now, this is John the Baptizer speaking, not John the Apostle. For he, John 3:34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I've emphasized to you, and I'll emphasize in succeeding studies, that John the Baptizer had a national message of repentance for the nation of Israel, and that fact must not be neglected, and certainly it won't be, because it is the theme of our study in the Gospel of Matthew. But neither should we forget that John the Baptizer preached the gospel. If we forget that, we will become so meticulous in making divisional understandings that we will rule out the gospel. Look again at verse 36, for this is really what I want to leave with you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Though John the Baptizer called the generation to whom he spoke a generation of vipers, though John the Baptizer told them that the kingdom of heaven was being offered to them at that particular time, John the Baptizer gave a gospel message that will do for any age. And I want you to notice that message very clearly in the closing moments we have together. Notice, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth. Notice, abideth, not will abide, not shall abide, but the wrath of God abides on him right this moment. Hear me, friend. If you've not already received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the wrath of God this very moment rests upon your shoulders. And that's the reason why I would like for you to turn to God. Acknowledge that you are a sinner, and tell him that you will receive his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Will you do that? I hope you will.